ignorance. Now you need a new system that I'm going to present to you. And that was what was going to shake the community severely.
You're listening to the program Gate of Knowledge on IRIB English Radio, a program that presents a detailed commentary of Peak of Eloquence from the Master of the Faithful, Imam Ali, peace be upon him.
Welcome back, dear listeners, to IRIB English Radio. We are talking about the strategy that Imam Ali alayhi salam had in mind. So first, Imam Ali prepares the minds and tells them that, O people, based on my understanding of the past and my analysis of today, I am telling you that whatever mistakes the previous communities did, do not repeat them, because those mistakes that they did had an effect, and that effect is common. It will affect you also today if you repeat those mistakes. So I am telling you that I know how you are before the coming of the Prophet, and you know that also. I know how you are, and you know how you are. You are under a tyrannical system. You are in the yoke of ignorance. You are confined in oppression and suppression. And O people of Islam, today also, you are like that. My analysis tells me that you have gone back, you have backtracked, you are in the same situation. Now, if you are in the same situation like the previous people, what happened to the previous people? The previous generations, that means that generation before the coming of Islam, those who held on to those redundant social systems, and those weak and fraudulent social orders, they fell down and were crushed with those social systems. But those who held on to the true Islam, they were saved. So now I'm telling you, O people, today, if you want to hold on to these systems before I came, that means the systems that were in place by the Muslim leaders before me, then know that if you continue with those systems, you are going to be crushed by those systems, those social systems, those social orders, those governing principles of the previous redundant, leaders. You will face the same problem today. So I am telling you, O people, that beware of this situation. So what am I going to do as Imam Ali alayhi salam? What is my duty? As a leader, my duty is that I am going to change those previous systems. Because if I don't change those previous systems, they are going to drown. You're going to drown down with them because they are redundant. They are meant to be destroyed. They are meant for destruction. And you will get destroyed with them. So what am I going to do? I'm going to change those systems. And that's going to be very severely difficult for you.
Stay tuned to the IRIB English Radio.
Welcome back, dear listeners, to IRIB English Radio. So now we are seeing that Imam Ali's strategy is to create a revolution, kind of, to change those social systems that have come back, those social orders, those redundant social orders. And now when you want to change those social orders, it's not going to be easy because then there will be a lot of problems. People are going to face difficulties. And that is why Imam Ali al-Salam says, لَتُبَلْبَلُنَّ بَلْبَلَةً, that you are going to face difficulties. You will be shaken severely. لَتُغَرْبَلُنَّ غَرْبَلَةً. There will be severe shaking. There will be a sifting process. There will be a very bad sifting process, a very difficult sifting process, because there is no choice. That is my strategy. You have ended up having a social order that is redundant. So I need to change that social order. وَلَا تُسَاطُنَّ سَوْتَ الْقِدَرِ, And just like how you can see how when there's a pot with some boiling heated material, how things inside it are like, you know, bubbling and turning around here and there. That's how I'm going to change things. Hatta ya'uda asfalukum a'laakum. Until those that are under come above. Wa a'laakum asfalakum. And those who are above will come below. This is what's going to happen. I'm going to change that order, the order which is existing today. O people, those who have been sleeping and resting out of adamance and not want to change your ways, latubalbalunna balbalatan, there'll be a lot of difficulties. There'll be a change, a very vast change that is going to affect you. I'm going to destroy those and change those, the ways you have arranged yourself, that structure that you have placed in front, that redundant one. I'm going to change that class system that you have made. What type of class system have you made for yourselves, whereby there are certain people who are rich, certain people who are, let's say, because they are generals, army generals, or because they are some veterans, they have special preference over others and unequal opportunity of wealth and knowledge apart from everyone. How can that be? That is unacceptable. And that is why Imam Ali alayhi salam came for that, to change the system and to rejuvenate life into the Muslim Ummah. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
That was Sheikh Mukhtar, a graduate of Islamic Seminary of Qom, on the program Gate of Knowledge on IRIB English Radio.
بالكتاب مسدد والنور معنا باب العلوم ومرشد هو آيات الله من نداه أو لبه حين دعاه نال مناه هو في الشدائد منجد والفضل يمنى هو في المحاسن أحمد والوحي ربا.
Cultural news, social news, scientific news, artistic news. With the light.
Children in Qatar are helping a conservation program revive the population of a critically endangered species of turtles. The children help release the baby turtles after they hatch, which usually takes place during the dark hours of the evening. The hawksbill mothers are cared for, if needed, when they arrive at the beach to lay their eggs. When the little turtles emerge, the weaker ones are taken to facilities at the foundation. There, they are cared for until they are strong enough to be returned to sea. Program managers say getting children involved helps raise awareness about the endangered species and how they can help prevent some of the challenges these turtles face.
As adults, we are kind of beyond hope. Our brain is no longer plastic. We can't really learn new things. But children have the power to really internalize all these things that they're learning, that they're seeing. They make these habits part of their life. They make decisions based on, is it good for the environment, alongside with economic value for money kind of decisions. And this is what we want to cultivate.
The children also get a chance to form bonds with the hawksbill turtles. Some of them have even named the one they are going to release. That's why life experts with the conservation program say only 1% of every 1,000 hatchlings make it to adulthood. Poaching, climate change, fishing nets and marine pollution have all contributed to the dwindling numbers of the species. The program was launched roughly a decade ago and has released 30,000 hatchlings into the sea in the last 5 years. Experts are optimistic about the success of the program. Elephants are the largest living animals on Earth that in many cultures are associated with good luck, wisdom and fertility. But their overpopulation has become a matter of concern in the southeastern African nation of Malawi.
We want to reduce the population of elephants in this park, in Luanda National Park, because currently we have 600 plus elephants in this park. We would be comfortable, ecologically speaking, that is, to have 300 elephants in this park.
Officials say they will relocate 250 elephants from a national park in a southern town to another park by the end of July. They say the plan is part of a national conservation initiative to maintain healthy habitats in the country's national parks. Establishing viable elephant populations and ensuring the prosperity of local communities around the parks are said to be the other aspects. Residents say the elephants often stray into their gardens and damage their crops. Authorities had relocated some 300 elephants from the same town in 2019.
A zoo in Mexico City celebrates the birthday of two very special residents, bringing cheers and excitement to visitors. Chinese pandas Xin Xin and Xuan Xuan have turned 35 and 33, becoming the oldest pandas in human captivity. China gifted their ancestors to Mexico back in 1975 to boost the relationships between the two countries. Later on, and thanks to the hard work of caretaker teams, 8 cubs were born from the parents. Zoo officials say for them, learning the A to Z of panda care was a long journey.
The pandas living in Chapultepec, Xuan Xuan and Xin Xin, turned 35 and 33 years old, respectively. When their parents arrived, we didn't know much about pandas, so vets and biologists had to follow recommendations from those who took care of giant pandas in the People's Republic of China. From then on, we evolved. We found new and better diets and daily care practices such as vaccine administration or parasite removal. Then they started to breed, which was quite a success since it was the first panda that was born and which survived named Toy.
The birthday celebration has coincided with the zoo's 99th foundation anniversary. A panda's normal lifespan is estimated at about 15 to 20 years for those out in nature and about 30 years for the ones in human care. But the good news is, despite their old age, Xuan Xuan and Xin Xin are in perfectly good shape. A goat in the Pakistani city of Karachi has made the headlines for its not-so-ordinary looks. The animal owns strikingly long ears. Simba was only born last month and his ears have already reached the length of 54 centimeters. The goat's breeder, Muhammad Hassan Narejo, says he has approached Guinness World Records to see if Simba can be included as the greatest of all time, or the goat, for this peculiar feature. The kid is in the center of attention, so he receives all sorts of help to live a smoother life. This includes a special harness for his ears and daily religious rituals to wish him good health. The breeder says that by promoting Simba's image, he is trying to introduce Pakistan as a major goat breeding nation.
The sky is the limit for wind sports in Iraq's Kurdistan region as members of the paragliding team launched into the sunset. Tourists have also come to watch team members bravely run towards the edge of the cliff of Mount Asmar. They usually take off facing the west to catch the sunset and then glide down towards the grey green meadows. The windy landscape around Iraq's northeastern city of Sulaymaniyah is a hot spot for paragliding. Participants of the sport say it requires a lot of physical strength and mental concentration. Some say their favorite aspect of the activity is the intense silence when flying high above the ground. There are many big restaurants with Michelin stars awarded based on their quality. But you will be amazed to know that an eatery located in a tiny village in Greenland also has this badge of honor, making it the world's most remote Michelin-starred restaurant. This eatery in the village, which is home to only 53 people, serves you what it gets from its immediate surroundings. Looking out over the chilly North Atlantic, customers taste a variety of local products, ranging from whale skin to an Arctic bird whose entire wing, including feathers, is on the plate. The restaurant is so remote that you can only reach there by boat through floating icebergs. The head chef says he forages for wild berries, flowers, and herbs every day, since the menu largely includes local flavors.
The Light is a bulletin in which we bring you a lot of interesting news in different fields like animals' life, cultural events, funny trending news, and more from every corner of the world.
A young British artist has found an incredible way to create art using not pen or paper, but typewriter. Symbols and letters are turned into complex drawings by this 25-year-old's adept fingers, gaining him attention online. London-based James Cork, who studied architecture, used to draw portraits. But that all changed when he discovered his now signature tool, the typewriter, in 2014. He says the idea came to his mind when he came across Paul Smith, an artist from the 1920s, who produced similar work. Initially, Cook thought it impossible, but he gave it a try. Now, after 8 years, he can draw complex images from Hollywood star Tom Hanks to the London Eye or the Millennium Bell. But while his works appear flawless to viewers, Cook says it never gets any easier and that it's always a challenge for him.
There's something really satisfying about kind of using this sort of limited palette of... You basically have about 44 keys on a typewriter on average. So you've got to kind of puzzle piece those letters, numbers, punctuation marks together to make a drawing.
Recently, online interest has encouraged Cook to pursue his passion. People donate their typewriters to Cook, who gives these machines a second life. He now has a collection of more than 40 typewriters dating from the early 20s.
Colombia's long hunt for a fabled Spanish ship, San Jose Galleon, that sank centuries ago, comes to an end. But the mission leads to two more nearby shipwrecks filled with treasures.
We have found two additional ships, one ship that is from the colonial period and another that, from the point of view of preliminary analysis, corresponds to the Republican period of our history. We also have related vessels, around a dozen similar boats, that will be located by our Navy.
The colonial-era vessels were found near Colombia's Caribbean port of Cartagena. A remotely operated vehicle reached 900 meters beneath to capture the shipwrecks and treasures inside them. San Jose Galleon sank in a deadly battle against English warships in 1708, taking with it billions in treasure. The Colombian president says the findings will be preserved and protected until extraction is done completely. The riches will then be displayed in museums.
Colombian scientists managed to reproduce an endangered species of frog, bringing it back from the brink of extinction. The scientists were able to reproduce 29 specimens of Lehman's poison frog after years of investigations and experiments using a lab
built specifically for this species. They have released the frogs into the Colombian Pacific region with the hope of starting its repopulation.
We observe how the frogs adapt to this ecosystem, which is theirs, but it is a constant monitoring. And the idea is that of these first 29 frogs at the moment, there will be many more little frogs, and now we can tell the world that they are not in danger of extinction.
The scientists, however, warn that this particular species of frog is very difficult to reproduce or maintain under human care. They are also worried about the illegal trade of the frogs, which has already played a key role in pushing the rare species towards extinction. Colombia is home to over 700 frog species, more than any other country in the world except Brazil. In Brazil, a 100-year-old man has broken the world record for the longest spell working at a single company. Walter Orthman has entered the Guinness World Record books for working at the same fabric company for an astonishing period of 84 years. He started on the factory floor before moving into administration and later on into the sales management. Despite his extraordinary accomplishment, Orthman's advice for those looking for a long and fulfilling professional life is surprisingly routine.
You have to like to work. I started to work with that willingness and fighting spirit. You also have to start working on something you like to do. You can't just do any job to say that you're working. That doesn't work. You're not going to be able to stand it. You have to look for a job that you like to do. And there, you won't even feel the time passing. That's what happened with me. I started working here, and I liked it. I worked my way up from point to point until I got to the position I'm in today.
Ortman says his secret to a long life and breaking the record is having a healthy lifestyle and staying away from junk food. He says he avoids sugar and salt as much as possible and tries to keep a diet that is healthy for the mind and soul. In order to stay sharp, Orthman says he does stretches and maintains physical activity.
تمام ارزش‌ها و صفاتی که انسان احترام میگذاره همه این ارزش‌ها در علی ابن ابی طالب جمعه.
Human in general, whether a Muslim, non-Muslim, or even a disbeliever, respect the values present in the character of Ali ibn Abi Talib.
لا يقيم أمر الله سبحانه إلا من لا يصانع ولا يضارع ولا يتبع المطامع.
Imam Ali alayhi salam, the reason we love him as our hero, or not only in the material sense, in the spiritual sense, in the leadership sense.
The universal persona of Imam Ali alayhi salam in To My Brother.
Imam Ali alayhi salam, the most distinguished and extraordinary personality in Islam after the Holy Prophet Muhammad. His entire life is a struggle for the advancement of Islam, the universal religion prescribed by Allah for all of humanity. Imam Ali alayhi salam was the living miracle raised up by the Holy Prophet Muhammad himself, and was not only the successor and the executor of the Holy Prophet Muhammad, but as history testifies, he was also a great human being, a brave defender of Islam, a just and fair judge, a generous philanthropist, a champion of the people, and the most pious person of his time. And in today's world, overcome by evil and darkness, and oppression and slavery, and tyranny and falsehood, a quick look into this beacon of truth and justice, a look into the universal persona of Imam Ali, is greatly useful for making and changing our lives, our families, our societies, and our world into the beautiful world that Allah has planned for humanity.
قال أمير المؤمنين علي عليه السلام: الوفاء لأهل الغدر غدر عند الله، والغدر بأهل الغدر وفاء عند الله.
Amir al-Mu'mineen Ali alayhi salam said, "Faithfulness with faithless people is faithlessness with Allah, while faithlessness with faithless people is faithfulness with Allah."
Welcome back, dear friends. It's great to have you with us. This is IRIB English Radio. The program is To My Brother, and we are discussing the universal persona of Imam Ali alayhi salam. Dear friends, in the beautiful and universal persona of Imam Ali alayhi salam, we find that His Eminence, the first divinely appointed Imam, Imam Ali alayhi salam, has these words of wisdom which have been able to surpass time and age. It is interesting and truly amazing at the same time that an individual can say something, or there can be a statement or a phrase from a certain individual, and that statement and that phrase can continue to live for over 1,000 years. If it wasn't for holy books like the Holy Quran, we would surely have lost the words and the statements of the people of the past who lived upon this earth over 1,000 years ago. But as far as history is concerned and the historical texts are concerned, we find that there is no remnant of individuals such as Pharaoh or Nimrud. But the Qur'an has saved these statements of these individuals, all so that we may reflect, think, comprehend and understand, and eventually make a change in our lives. Imam Ali alayhi salam talking about an individual who cannot be relied upon, an individual who is not the inheritor of the knowledge of prophets and imams. Of course, one who is the inheritor of the knowledge of the prophets and the imams must be somebody who can be relied upon. But here, Imam Ali alayhi salam teaches us and tells us and describes for us one who cannot be relied upon. Imam Ali says that the one that cannot be relied upon is one who will exploit the religion for worldly gains, and by virtue of Allah's favors upon that individual who cannot be relied upon will domineer over the people. And through Allah's pleasure, they would lord over Allah's devotees. We must be very careful as individuals, as a society, as a community, and as nations, that we do not bring to power via so-called democracy people who cannot be relied upon, people who will lead us astray, people who will misguide us, people who will take advantage of us, plunder and loot our hard-earned wealth, destroy our spirituality. And these kind of individuals are who? Imam Ali, over 1,000 years ago, gave us some descriptions. He said that these individuals that cannot be relied upon, that cannot be trusted in positions of power, are those who will exploit the religion for worldly gain. They will domineer and become authoritarian over the people, and they will try to lord over the devotees of Allah. Another beautiful lesson brought to us by the universal persona of Imam Ali alayhi salam.
Assalamu alaikum to you, dear listeners of IRIB English Radio, the program To My Brother. I'm Atta, the producer of this program, and at this moment, I invite you to listen to the Arabic text of Ziyara Aminullah along with the English translation. Please stay tuned.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم اللهم إن قلوب المخبتين إليك والها وسبل الراغبين
O Allah, verily the hearts of those who surrender to Thee are full of passionate love. The path of those who long for Thee is the straight, true road. The instructions given by those who lead on Thee are distinct and precise. The minds of those who are aware of Thy reality are filled with awe and reverence. The call of those who invite unto Thee is loud and clear, and the doors of approval are kept open for them. Whoso submits his supplication to Thee receives a favorable answer. Whoso turns repentant unto Thee gets acceptance and amnesty. Whoso bursts into tears in fear of Thy punishment obtains mercy. Whoso seeks redress from Thee finds the required assistance at his disposal. Whoso asks for Thy help procures the aid as a gift. Thy promise made with Thy servants is fulfilled. Whoso asks for pardon of his errors finds them reduced to nothing. Whoso does everything for Thy sake discovers that each and every deed has been preserved. The means of livelihood available to the created being come from Thee like a rainfall, and in addition, many recurring favors and bounties reach them in regular succession. The sin of those who ask for forgiveness are overlooked. The wants and needs of all that which has been created by Thee are properly satisfied. Those who put forward genuine demands get more than they ask for, one after the other, again and again. For the hungry, wholesome food is arranged. For the thirsty, clean water is available in abundance.
تبقى عيني بدمع مشتاقيا قد لسعت حية الهوى كبدي فلا تبي لها ولا راغي
Now let's listen to Brother Muhammad Al-Hilli, who's going to talk about today's topic.
Here we have an imam who would teach us and say famously, people are of two kinds, an-nasu sinfan, amma akhun laka fi ad-din, aw nadhirun laka fil khalq. People are either your brothers in faith or equals in humanity. When it comes to spirituality, the immense values of his du'as and his communication with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the wonderful words that are immensely powerful when you and I recite them in munajat, when it comes to his brilliant courage and his valor, and the fact that he was the most important companion of the Holy Prophet of Islam in every single battle, the fact that he would always be thinking about Islam first, then himself, about the well-being of others, then himself. Ali ibn Abi Talib was a man of God, a man chosen by Allah, dedicated his life to Allah, was martyred for Allah, and today a visitor who comes here pays their respect to Ali ibn Abi Talib, seeks that goal of being close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, serving Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, being of ibadullah, just as perfectly as the commander of the faithful, Ali ibn Abi Talib, indeed was.
Dear listeners, we hope you enjoyed this episode of To My Brother. Don't forget to visit our website at parstoday.com. We leave you in Allah's care. Bye for now.
If you're interested to know about history, culture, family, politics, religion, art, etc., you wouldn't want to miss the chance to tune into the IRIB English Radio. Please log on to our website, www.parstoday.com/en.
Sheikh Baqir Sharif Al-Qarashi decides to compile.
So we can consider Sayyid Hadi Khosrow Shahi.
Shahid Muhammad Baqir al-Sadr. He was born in Qadhimiyya.
The first and the most important thing that we can learn from Allama Tabatabai is his great effort.
In this regard, I should like to say that one of the great benefits of the late Ayatollah Sayyid Mahmoud Shahrudi was...
When we look at the works of late Rawzati, we see...
There is a famous sentence from Mirza Khalil Qamari that he says in Farsi, Tuhid kalame baraye kalame tuhid.
Be more familiar with outstanding Shia figures in the teacher.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Assalamu alaikum to you, dear listeners of IRIB English Radio, Call of Islam page. You are listening to the program The Teacher, an analysis on the thoughts and works of the most outstanding Muslim Shia scholars. I'm Atta, the host of this program. With me in the studio for today's discussion are two guest speakers from the Islamic House of Qom, Sheikh Mahtavi and Sheikh Ziyaniya. Sheikh Mahtavi, assalamu alaikum, welcome to the show.
Alaikum assalam wa rahmatullah.
And Sheikh Ziyaniya, assalamu alaikum, brother.
Alaikum assalam wa rahmatullah wa barakatuh.
For today's discussion, we want to be concerned with one of the most outstanding Shiite dignitaries and scholars of the Islamic Hausa of the city of Najaf, but originally from Iran and Isfahan. He is no one but the late Ayatollah Muhammad Hussein Qaravi Isfahani, mainly known as Kompani. Okay, Sheikh Ziyaniya, let's be a little bit concerned with the early life of this outstanding man from your tongue.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Late Muhammad Hussein Qaravi Isfahani, originally from Nakhchivan, a city nowadays in the country of Azerbaijan.
Okay.
They moved from, his grandparents, they moved from Azerbaijan into Tabriz and then to Isfahan. And he was born in the second day of Muharram in the year of 1296, according to lunar calendar, in the city of Najaf. And his father was a great merchant,
yes,
a successful one,
okay,
and they were really wealthy. Because his father was a good merchant, it was really normal that he wanted his son to follow his way.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why he insisted on this, that
you become a merchant, huh? The son becomes a merchant like
I
him.
I want you to follow my way, mm-hmm, and to become a good merchant.
And usually in the marketplace, in the old past, you know, generation after generation.
Yeah, even nowadays.
Yes. Okay. Continue
but,
the path of the father.
Yes.
Okay.
But Muhammad Hussein wanted to follow another way and to go into the Islamic field,
mm-hmm,
and study in Islamic studies and become a mujtahid in
to
this
enter
field.
The Hausa, in fact. Okay.
They were living in Kavimain.
Yes.
A city close to Baghdad.
Mm-hmm.
And he says that, he himself quotes that, I was a teenager, mm-hmm, at the age of 13, more or less, and we were in the shrine of Imam al-Kadhimain, alayhi
as-salam.
And I was thinking about this point that I wish that my father was satisfied with me to go to Islamic seminary. And as more as I had talked to him, he had rejected me. And I saw my father is talking to one of his friends about, you know, his business. And we were at the courtyard of the shrine. And he says that suddenly I looked at the tomb of the shrine of Imamain al-Kadhimain alayhi salam. And I talked to Imam Musa ibn Ja'far alayhi salatu wasalam and told him that you are the ocean of grace.
Mm-hmm.
And may you soften the heart of my father toward me to let me go to Islamic seminary in Najaf.
Okay.
And he says, when I prayed in my heart to Imam alayhi salam, after my praying, he says that my father turned his face toward me and told me, Muhammad Hussein, if you want to go to Najaf al-Ashraf, it's okay. You may go there and study. And he says that I have achieved this chance by the grace of Imam Musa ibn Ja'far alayhi salatu wasalam.
Alhamdulillah. Very good.
And he was a good, student of Marhum Akhund Khurasani.
Mm-hmm.
That he was the biggest name at that time in the sky of Najaf. That there were many, scholars over there, but Akhund Khurasani was the one who was the most prominent scholar, especially in Ilm al-Usul al-Fiqh.
That's right.
And Mahum Muhammad Hussein Qaravi Isfahani participated at the course of Kharij Usul al-Fiqh for 13 years at the highest level of this course.
That's right.
And he says that I just was absent for two sessions during these 13 years.
Oh.
And this is really important.
You know, he did not miss any class or courses, any session.
At all.
Only for two ceremonies. Okay, that's right.
And about his students, he delivered great ones like Marhum Bahjat, Rahmatullah Alayhi.
Mm-hmm.
Marhum Allama Tabatabai, Rahmatullah Alayhi.
Okay.
Marhum Khuy, Rahmatullah Alayhi, and many other scholars that the Shia school of thought have got benefit from them so much.
Okay, that's all right. And beside this, scholarly life, spiritually speaking, and mystically speaking, he was very much developed. This is maybe one overlooked aspect of the life of the late Ayatollah Muhammad Hussein Qaravi Isfahani, isn't it, Sheikh Mahtavi?
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. For sure, what you said is completely correct.
For this, you may quote the actually saying of Ayatollah Behjat, saying that when you look at his life, you would say he is doing nothing except suluk and ibadah. And when you would look at his scholarly life, you would say he is doing nothing except studying lessons, usul, fiqh, philosophy, and this and that. Why? Because of his comprehensiveness in all aspects of the religion and science. As my brother mentioned, when you look at his students, you can understand, okay, regarding the philosophy, we have Allama Tabatabai as his student. Okay. Regarding the usul, we have Ayatollah Khoi as his student. Okay. All of these are grand Ayatollahs and Asatiz.
For the Irfani one, we got Ayatollah Behjat.
Okay. Yeah, from the actually Irfani aspect, you can see Ayatollah Behjat as his student. Why? Because he benefited from Mirza Javad Aghai Malikiye Tabrizi, who was the direct student of Mulla Hussain Qulli Hamadani. Right. That's this path that in one of the programs we talked about that a bit more. Even besides all of these, when we look at his actually literature, specifically in Farsi, we will find him a great poet.
Okay.
And specifically the poetry that he has composed regarding the Ahlul Bayt.
But we can call it a kind of commitment literature or adabiyat muta'ahid or ta'ahud, but this is a kind of religious Shiite, we can say, committed poet, Muhammad Hussain Qalevi Isfahani.
That even nowadays, many people who are reciting the matam in the majalis, they are benefiting from his deep poetries and poems. Okay. For example, if I just wanted to pick sentence or one actually part of one of the poetry regarding Hazrat Zahra, in Farsi he's saying that muftaqira matabru az dar u be hich su zan ke mes vujud ra fizze u tala konad. In English, so for the first part it is easy to be translated. Yes. So it says muftaqira, oh, the one who is poor.
Of course, muftaqir was his poetic name too.
Yes. Yeah,
muftaqir was his takhallus, the poetic takhallus, that's right.
Yes. So matabru, do not turn away from the gate of whom. So in the second part, the way he is explaining this second part is really, really metaphoric and beautiful. Why? Because he is using the names of three metals, copper, silver, and gold. Okay. And this is a very nice story, and everybody is familiar with this struggle. All of the scientists that they were after changing copper into gold through different ways.
Okay. So and the value that you will find. Yes. That's right. Okay.
So he's taking this actually metaphor and put it in his poetry by saying that. We know that. What was the name of the servant of Hazrat Zahra? Fidda.
Okay.
This Fidda in Arabic means silver. So he's saying that. Do not turn away your face from the gate of a person whose servant named silver, better to say Fidda.
Fidda, okay.
Not she herself, her servant, to which level they may arrive or they may reach. So they are capable of turning the copper into gold. Not they themselves. You don't need to get to them. Even their servants are...
The person who works for them has got such a high status. Yes.
So in the second part, he's saying that zan ke mes vujud ra fizze u tala konat. Her fizze, meaning that her silver or her servant, better to say it this way,
referring to
will change your copper into gold.
Into gold.
So it shows the way he's benefiting from this nice metaphor that everybody will understand it in every language, because everybody is familiar with this story, as I said, changing copper into gold. Okay. So he's saying that this, the gate of Ahlul Bayt, specifically Hazrat Zahra Salamullah Alayha, her servant has been granted such power.
Okay. And most of his divan or the poetic collections, you know, and all of it include the poems about Ahlul Bayt.
Yeah, as I said, most of the
Radud,
yes,
or those who are reciting Matam in the Majalis, they are benefiting from his poetry.
Divan-e Kompani, mainly known as the poetic collections of the late Muhammad Hussein Alevi Isfahani. Okay, Sheikh, just talk a little bit about this, the other aspects of this, called the life of Muhammad Hussein Alevi Isfahani, because beside Mirza Naini and Agha Ziya-e Iraqi, he was among the three important students of Akhund Khorasani.
Yes, as you mentioned, he was amongst these three important students of Akhund Khorasani, namely known as Three Revivers.
Yes.
And they are the ones who make the ideas of Akhund Khorasani long-lasting in the atmosphere of Islamic seminaries, even both in Najaf and in Qom.
Yes.
And those are the ones who nurtured students through the school of thought of Akhund Khorasani,
okay,
and transferred the ideas of Akhund Khorasani in a way that these students also transferred these ideas all over the Islamic seminaries, either in Iraq, Iran, and also Lebanon, Hijaz, and different parts of the world.
Producing any specific work in this regard, you said?
Yes. For example, Marhum Muhammad Hussein Gharavi Isfahani authored the book Nihayatud Diraya, that is one of the most important commentaries on the book Kifayatul Usul.
Okay.
And I should note this point also, that Marhum Muhammad Hussein Gharavi Isfahani was interested in philosophy, Islamic philosophy, and hikmah also.
Yes.
And I don't know, intentionally or unintentionally, he used the philosophical ideas in Usul al-Fiqh. And that's why when you refer to Nihayatul Diraya, it's not easy to understand this book.
Okay.
You know, some new ideas are mentioned in this book that, you know, normal students are not having an easy task to understand.
Okay.
And
but you mean by philosophy is not the philosophy in terms of the Western definition.
For sure not.
But the hikmah one, the rational sciences, you mean, isn't it?
Yes.
The mental.
Or we may call it Hikmatul Muta'aliya, or hikmah that is transferred to us through Mullah Sadra, the great philosopher or hakim in Islamic studies. He has also other books besides Nihayatul Diraya, like Al-Usul ala Nahj al-Hadith, Al-Ijtihad wa-Taqlid wa-Al-Idala, or Juzatun fi-Sawm, and Al-Anwar al-Qudsiyya, and some other books.
Okay.
And he was at the end of his life, I mean the ending years of his life, he came to a new method in Ilm al-Usul al-Fiqh and decided to compile a book according to his new method.
Okay.
But unfortunately, his life was ended up and he couldn't find this chance to complete that book.
And truly, as you said, the generation of his students, including Ayatollah Bahjat, Allama Tawatabai, Ayatollah Khoui, completed, I think, most of his unfinished works, it's better to say. Even Allama Amini, really a fruitful life the late Muhammad Hussein Gharavi Isfahani had. Okay, that's all right. Okay, any missed point?
Maybe we mentioned this memory of Ayatollah Bahjat as a final remark of our program for today, that Ayatollah Bahjat is saying that he was insisting on recitation of Ziyarat al-Ashura every day. Mm-hmm. And to the moment that he was in Najaf, he would go to the holy shrine of Imam Ali and would recite Ziyarat al-Ashura while standing. Mm-hmm. And every day he would do the prayer of Ja'far Tayyar and recitation of Surat al-Qadr. So he was also showing humbleness to the people who were participating in the majalis of Ahlul Bayt. He would serve the tea on his own.
Oh.
So this is a really... not every marja is going to do such a thing.
As a great marja, he was serving his own guests.
Yes.
On the month of Muharram.
Okay, so... because of the concern that he had for the Ahlul Bayt, that we dealt with that in the previous part. Yeah,
that's all right. I really invite our dear listeners in order to get to Divan, as I said, the poetic collections of the late Muhammad Hussein Gharavi Isfahani, fruitful in terms of religious content and the Shiite content in defense of the Ahlul Bayt and Imam al-Hussein, Hazrat Zahra, and the other members of the Infallible Imams. Muhammad Hussein Gharavi Isfahani passed away on Zilhajjah 5th, 1361, according to the lunar Hijri calendar. His body was taken into the main courtyard of the holy shrine of Imam Ali alayhi salam, and he was buried very much close to the grave of Allama Hilli, over there. May Allah bless the soul of this outstanding man, Muhammad Hussein Gharavi Ismaili, mainly known as Kompani. Thank you much, Sheikh Ziaynia and Sheikh Mahtavi, for your presence in the program. The teacher talking about the late Ayatollah Muhammad Hussein Gharavi Isfahani. And thank you much, dear listeners, for listening to this episode of the program, The Teacher. For more information and to download for free our previous episodes of the program, The Teacher, visit our website at parstoday.com/Ian Call of Islam page. Also, you can visit our YouTube channel, Instagram page, Call of Islam Radio. To another episode, God bless you all. Fi amanillah.
The Deported.
Part 1.
We've been here to the United States a lot. We used to come every year for a vacation, and we really liked the U.S. We saw it's a great country.
This is a huge country. This is a beautiful country. This country is country for everybody.
That's why we decided we wanted to continue our life and move here to the U.S. and have a future here in the U.S.
The Megaheads are the perfect picture of an American immigrant family. Samir Megahed, an engineer, moved from Egypt with his wife and four children to a quiet cul-de-sac in Tampa, Florida in 1998. Samir found work and his eldest sons followed in his footsteps pursuing engineering degrees. In 2009, the family celebrated becoming American citizens. But their son Yusuf was missing.
A friend told us, how is Yusuf? We told him, he's fine. He went to a beach trip with some of his friends. He told us, did you see CNN? And we were amazed that he was telling us to check Yusuf on CNN.
In August 2007, Yusuf Megahed was on a road trip with his college friend Mohammed, visiting beaches in the south. They were pulled over for driving 60 in a 45-mile-an-hour zone in the small South Carolina town of Goose Creek. But when Mohammed told the officers he had homemade fireworks in the car, they were both arrested and charged with transporting explosives across state lines.
We saw this as a mistake that we hopefully will be solved by the next day. But then the story didn't end the next day, and it continued now for almost 2 years. He was arrested with fireworks. If any white kid or anyone who's not a Middle Eastern would be stopped by a police officer and he would have fireworks, they would consider this to be something ordinary, and they are going to the beach and they are having some fun. But for a Middle Eastern, even this legal stuff that is enjoyed or allowed for any person living here in the U.S., it's considered to be banned or illegal for him. So I think it was almost like a wake-up call that like Arabs and Middle Easterns and people from an Islamic background, they don't enjoy the same rights or same freedoms offered to other people here in the U.S.
Although no formal charges of terrorism were ever filed, Yusuf was held for 10 months in solitary confinement. It was over a year and a half before his trial began.
In the past 2 years, our life is changed completely. It looks like a nightmare. You live under pressure from the biggest government all over the world. If the biggest government all over the world targeting your son, and you know your son is innocent, you're thinking it's crazy. Because Yusuf has a Middle East face and he's carrying Quran, his suspicion on him.
Justify their hatred.
Stop all Muslim immigration. Is that the best way to protect America and our economy from new terror attacks?
The fact of the matter is, these guys want to kill us. We have to fight them. And we have to support law enforcement
guys,
who want to fight
these
them.
Guys.
You know, Clinton goes all over the map here. We got to get these guys before they
and
kill
that's
innocent
gotta be
people.
If you are an 18 to 28-year-old Muslim man, then you should be strip searched.
So there's always confusion about Islam. Is it a religion of violence or peace?
Islam is a violent, I was going to say religion, but it's not a religion. It's a political system. It's a violent political system bent on the overthrow of the governments of the world and the, and world domination.
In the years... The